Celtics Wednesday on WEEI, and Mego will join us at 9. No problem so far with the Boston Celtics.
Nope.
No. Undefeated season. That's what we're chasing.
That's on the table. It remains on the table. Yeah. Problem with the Bruins, and we'll talk to Mike Milbury about that tomorrow.
It's a Celtics Friday.
Yes. Yes. So, Mego coming up at 9. But right now, let's get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me facing. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right. Time for a back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. Where would you like to begin, Sean?
Well, Greg, as you pointed out, the Boston Bruins have struggled a little bit. Yesterday after the game, Jim Montgomery talked about the offense and kind of who is responsible for the lack of production so far on this team. Here is what he said.
I think on every team, your best players, your star players, have to carry the weight, the load offensively, you know, and, you know, those are the players that are out on the power play and they're the players, you know, but right now the offense isn't materializing for us. I don't know. It just, we're not making plays. We're not doing enough to generate high danger scoring chances, whether that's a will to go to those areas or, you know, not the right game plan. You know, we're all culpable for not coming out with a victory tonight.
Okay. I mean, I feel like he's directing that at Brad Marchand, fair or not.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, his first goal was Saturday in that overtime win. Am I correct about that, Sean?
That is correct. Yep.
And he has one. So, and there's back and forth. You know, I like the fact that Brad Marchand has continued to say that he won't talk about his contract publicly. But there were whispers that they were about to extend him over the weekend.
All right.
For 3 years? Was that the number that was floating around?
I believe that is correct.
Wow. How do you feel about that?
We had this conversation.
Listen, the man has given heart and soul and body,
right,
certainly to the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, when you talk about it, you have to talk about off-season surgeries, mm-hmm, that he had.
Right.
Do you think we have Larry's shoes, we have red in the cigar, do you think we should get a statue of just Marchand's nose?
Could work. As long as it's not a D-Wade type of statue.
But he wasn't mad about that, D-Wade.
No, he was part of the creating team behind that thing.
Well, did you also know that he has also been introduced by the wrong name after they won the NBA title? I was informed of this. They called him Wade Jones.
Did not know that.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
I believe it was like the mayor of Miami introduced him as Wade Jones.
Ooh. Wow.
But can you extend him now, based on how he is struggling?
We had the conversation, and remember we were like, well, is he going to retire? I think you were more leaning towards retirement.
Yeah, I think he's going to retire.
But if there's a potential 3-year extension on the table.
Would you extend him for 3 years, though? Thinking back to all the surgeries he's had, his age, everything that goes along with it, like 3 years to me seems like a long time to extend Brad Marchand. And I have all the respect in the world for him. I just think that he's closer to retirement than not. So business-wise, a 3-year extension seems...
Well, then you don't mind him going to play somewhere else.
I just don't see him doing that.
But reports of him getting a 3-year, he still wants to play.
I'm saying that's shocking.
I think it would matter on the price, right? Like if it's, mm-hmm, 3 years at like the league minimum, then who cares?
Right.
Of course, keep him. He's good leadership in the locker room. He's your captain for a reason. That's fine. But if you're paying him $5 or $6 million a year, I think that's a mistake.
Can I get the great Maria from Watertown, mm-hmm, on this right this moment? Hi, Maria.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Just on the issue with Brad Marchand, he was asked about those contract talks/negotiations, and he said that they are false.
Okay.
Whether or not he's hedging or someone else is hedging, I really don't care. I'm not extending anybody on this team right now, based on the way that they are currently playing. And Jim Montgomery's remarks are not exclusive to Brad Marchand. You're talking about the leaders collectively on this team who are literally giving you almost nothing. That includes the $9 million defenseman, Charlie McAvoy. That includes David Pastrnak, Charlie Coyle, Pavel Zacha. I could go down the entire roster. Trent Frederick is giving you nothing. Morgan Geeky is giving you nothing. Just look at their stats when you get a minute, and it's an abomination. There is no chemistry whatsoever on any line except the fourth line.
The fourth line, you have to point out how and great it, they are.
Right. We're at the 10-game mark where this team has virtually no identity. The power play is dismal, and that's a nice way of putting it because I don't want to get dumped. You had a 5-on-3 for over a minute, and you did nothing with it. That fueled Philadelphia's fire last night when they were able to kill that 5-on-3 off. So it's a collective bleep show there right now, and until these players start holding themselves accountable and performing up to the level that we know that they can perform because we've seen most of them do it in the last couple of seasons. This team is going to be, I don't want to say circling the drains, but it's going to be a slog to get these guys into the playoffs.
Maria, brilliant as always.
Yep.
She is the best. She really is. All right, what's next, Shime?
Well, let's pivot to the New England Patriots. A little bit more of a cheery topic since they just won on Sunday. Bert Breer was on NBC last night and talked about the potential trade targets for the Patriots and the potential trade assets that the Patriots have. Here was Breer.
So, like, I've heard that they've gotten calls and are fielding calls on corners and receivers. And the receiver market, of course, in the NFL has moved a bunch. So we've seen DeAndre Hopkins, Amari Cooper. Deontay Johnson today got moved. Devontae Adams got moved. And so the names I've heard they've gotten calls on are actually interesting. It's KJ Osborne and it's Tyquan Thornton. And I think the reason why Thornton has some value to teams is because that sort of speed, you can't coach it, right? So every coach looks at a guy like that and says, I can do something with him. So, like, if you want to add some maturity to the room, maybe a player-for-player swap, you trade Tyquan Thornton to Carolina for Adam Thielen. Like, that could be something you might be able to look at, right? Like, and maybe you send the Panthers a pick on top of that. As for corner, they're obviously not trading Christian Gonzalez. I don't think they want to trade Jonathan Jones, but I think they're open for business on everybody else.
A general manager calling on what it would take to get Tyquan Thornton should be fired immediately on the spot.
I will give him to you for a Dunkin' Donuts gift card and a nicely written thank you note.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. They're getting a lot of calls on the wide receivers that are in the room.
Yeah.
Well, obviously they're not. I mean, he's lying.
I don't know what that means. A lot of calls. Like,
Josina Anderson had, I believe, like almost the exact same report as well.
Right. I've seen that.
Means they both got a phone call from Elliot Wolf saying, please say people are calling. Like, nobody, if Tyquan Thornton gets traded, I will jump in the Charles.
So I guess the better portion of that, though, is there's also reports that they are interested in acquiring talent at the deadline. That's a smart move, though. Like, if you can get a guy that you can extend and put on this roster that's actually better than what you have, which isn't a lot.
Like whom?
I don't know. Greg, literally anybody. Like, if you could get an off. I mean, it is a buyer's market right now. The Vikings got a starting left tackle for 15 spots in the draft, basically.
But I was told by these same morons that are currently running the football department.
Can't find anybody on the offensive line, right, Curtis?
I mean, talk about an insult to your fan base that all of a sudden the Vikings have a need, they get a guy immediately.
I got to give them credit, though. Finding Ben Brown off the practice squad was... They get credit for that.
Why can't they do that with the receivers? That's what bugs the crap out of me. Those receivers stink.
Because receivers are far more of a premium product than interior linemen are.
Yeah, but there's receivers on practice squads everywhere, across the league.
But you'd have to pick up the phone and see, like, is Cincinnati willing to move on a guy like T. Higgins? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
you're going to have to think way less high stakes.
I don't want Adam Thielen. Like,
you
want to go, and this just goes back to you want to be able to trade for guys that can change the culture in your locker room. that upgrades and can make plays, but you can also have them for the next 3 or 4
years. You're not renting a guy. Why would you rent a guy?
Why would I want Adam Thielen?
You know, when you're trying to get over 4.5 games.
But I would rent a left tackle if it ensures future safety of Drake May for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And the other thing, Greg, you and I agree on part of this. I don't think it matters much what Mayo says, but if your front office wants to do this publicly, it is really stupid. Like, I understand that everybody has tape and what you say about health is maybe somewhat overblown. We all thought it was a big deal. It wasn't. But how you intend to build your roster and what you're targeting in a trade market should not be public discussion.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Like, that side of it makes no sense to me, and it makes me think they're going to do nothing but act like they tried.
That they tried again. Yeah. All right, anything else, Sean?
Yeah, one more quick one for you here. Here's a little bit of a feel-good thing. Made its way around social media. I know it was big on TikTok. Peyton Pritchard the other day was out and about with his wife. He was caught on camera. It might have actually been, I think it was his wife that caught him on camera.
It was
playing hoops with a young boy.
In the Seaport.
Yes.
No less.
You can see it right now on Twitch. Mitch has the video for you. Here was Peyton Pritchard talking about that.
Well, me and my wife were actually, we were walking our dog. We got coffee, and then we stopped by a dog park. And by the dog park in Seaport, there's a little hoop. And I had a beanie and stuff on, so I didn't think anybody would really notice me. But these kids saw me from afar, and they were yelling. And I was at the dog park, so I didn't go over there right away. And then I ended up going over there, and it was kind of low-key. And we just messing around, really. I just playing one-on-one with them. And they were actually pretty good, though, like little scrappy kids getting after it. So I definitely appreciated it, and I was talking a little bit. So I don't know. I like moments like that. Just felt like a kid again, just playing outside. And obviously Emma just took a clip of it from afar, so I got a bucket on him, though. So
that's pretty
really
cool
nice.
Right
it
there.
It is.
Yeah.
It really is.
That is really cool.
And luckily there was no doo-doo around because Bullet does his in the elevator. So.
Right. That is really cool.
That's a dog park very close to you, too, where
it
they
is,
were.
Yes,
you could have been
nice.
There, you know. Right. You could have hooped up.
I could have. Yeah, but I have the Achilles thing. Right. Although the Achilles thing is gone now. Just completely gone.
But Van Leeuwen is still there.
Yeah.
You're really liking those recovery boots.
Yeah, I did the recovery boots. Today I'm going for a hot sauna and a cold plunge at Sweathouse.
All right, which one are you going to?
I'm going to South Boston, the
okay.
new one.
All right.
Are you
going
to go fully into the cold plunge?
Well, of course.
You got to go.
What do you mean fully into it?
I just could see you putting, I could just see you putting the Achilles in.
No.
Greg, can I tell you something? I so respect that you're honest about your eating at night, because when I saw that butter cake, I was like, this is a ballsy post in the middle of this huge preparation for the 5K.
Let me tell you something. It's only available for a limited time, Curtis. That is the pumpkin butter cake at Ocean Prime. Which I only had a spoonful of.
That is a lie.
But the caramel sauce is heavenly.
I'm going on Saturday. I hope they still have it.
They are running low, so you better hurry. Although
you're the reason they're running low.
You can get, I just heard from the city of Boston, and there is a new pumpkin butter cake grant program that one can apply for. So if you don't have the funds, they will treat you to dinner at Ocean Prime.
Right, enjoy it. Enjoy your dip. Enjoy it all.
Throw your little shing ding.
All right. That is They Said It. Let's get to Courtney and to what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Bruins get shut out by the Flyers. Final score 2-0 at the TD Garden. Korpisalo was in goal. He had 17 saves in the loss. They're on the road now to take on the Hurricanes tomorrow night in Carolina. The Celtics are on the road tonight taking on the Pacers in Indiana. And the NBA has fined the 76ers $100,000 for public statements around the health status of Joel Embiid. They're basically saying that ownership has led the public astray when it comes to what they were saying about Joel Embiid.
Is that the back-to-back comments that you're talking about?
Yeah. The Yankees show signs of life. They take Game 4 of the World Series, taking down the Dodgers 11-4. That series sits at 3-1 Dodgers with Game 5 tonight in the Bronx. And bad news for the Texans. Stephon Diggs is out for the season with a torn ACL that he suffered in the Texans' win over the Colts on Sunday. I need to figure out my parlay maybe today or tomorrow for Thursday, and I have a lot of questions now when it comes to the Texans because that's where I was leaning. But now I'm hearing
they're without two of their receivers, right?
Yeah.
Nico Collins is out.
But now I'm hearing Shime and Curtis both saying that they want to ride the Jets.
No, I want the Texans.
No, Shimes, Texans.
Oh, sorry.
I'm
Curtis wants the Jets.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think you should take a break? Like,
no.
there's genuine concern for you.
She was hot on Sunday night or Monday night. Like, she was cooking.
She just what do you mean it. She was cooking?
I mean, she
didn't win her. She lost yet another.
Yeah, because
multiple leg parlay. She's over.
She got screwed.
Yeah,
she was picking score twice.
She is over on parlays, multiple leg parlays.
Yeah.
It's like throwing money out the window is the multiple leg
parlay. She cashed out on her late one Sunday afternoon, right. And then she should have probably hit the one on Monday.
Yeah, she should.
I have faith in you, Courtney.
I think that the parlay should partially hit if a touchdown gets called back.
Okay. I do. Not how it works.
No. Well, I do. Yeah. Two touchdowns called back for that guy.
That's the thing about the parlay, man. The parlay is such a crazy... She is a crazy bitch. I had Mike Evans to score a touchdown and get 50 yards. He scores a touchdown. The next thing you know, he pulls his hamstring.
Uh-huh.
There goes my parlay.
I know.
That bitch is like, I'm gone. You're going same game parlay. Again, you like that.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
Greg, what do you like better? Stories about fish that you had right next to the boat but couldn't bring them in, or bets that went wrong?
Yeah, just missed on the anytime touchdown. That's it. Otherwise, I nailed my other 11 legs.
The only reason you get an extra 10 grand when you bet 30 legs is because they all have to happen. Doesn't matter.
Well, they almost did. That's the thing about gambling, Curtis. It's always about going for broke.
Yep. Looking for fast, convenient family meals that everyone will love? Well, you got to try the 99 Restaurant's new original crispy chicken tender family meal deal for just $39.99. Each meal serves up to 5 people and comes with sides to share only at the 9s. The 99 does have great chicken tenders, so that sounds delicious. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
I love the 9s. 53 degrees in Boston. Mostly cloudy skies. Afternoon high of 70. Greg, tomorrow, trick-or-treating in the mid to upper 70s in Boston.
Could be a record, though, Curtis.
It really could.
The record temperature on Halloween is 82 degrees set in 1941, I believe.
Wow. Ooh, was there a big emission of carbon in 1941?
There may have been.
Wow.
So could be a record setter tomorrow.
All right.
Still to come this morning, we'll get to Courtney in today's news at 7:45. And it is a Celtics Wednesday, so we will talk Celtics with Mego coming up at 9. It is a Celtics Wednesday. We will talk Celtics with Mego coming up in an hour and a half at 9. Text during the break, which is too long, several text messages during the break on the Subaru of New England text line, which is too long to read all of, but essentially suggesting that the New England Patriots are going to ruin Drake May by starting him Sunday. He or she goes into the fact that there's no possible way that he would be able to get through concussion protocol this week, and that you got a guy who clearly shows an awful lot of promise, and you're going to throw him out there behind a line, and he's going to somehow turn into Tua.
He's not playing this weekend.
I don't think he's going to.
Zero chance.
I mean, there's 5.
I disagree. I think there's a strong chance he plays.
How many players that have gotten a concussion have played the next week that didn't play on Thursday?
When did they say he had a concussion? They said he was in protocol. Nobody ever confirmed that he had a concussion.
Okay. I'm just going to say he's not playing Sunday.
He wanted to come back in the second half of that game. He's going to play on Sunday.
Right. I once had a concussion. I thought I was Batman.
did Malik Nabers get a concussion? Did he sit out the next week, or did he play?
Yeah, he got rocked on that play, though. Like, he had to come out of the game.
I'm talking about quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Allen had a concussion in the game, went through protocol the next day, and still played the following Sunday.
It was a Thursday night game. It wasn't 1 week. It was an extra break.
Yeah, Josh Allen, he stayed in that game and played.
Yes.
I mean, there's 5 stages of recovery that you have to go through. Am I correct about that?
For the concussion protocol?
I have no clue what it is.
I think there's 12 steps.
You have to start with light conditioning, and if you can get through that without an issue, then you have to go to mental gymnastics.
Right.
And if you can, you have to be able to sing the new alphabet song. And if you can do that, then...
Then you have to do it backwards.
Greg, did we ever talk about that? The new Alphabet song, which is just atrocious.
Yeah.
We talked about it, I think, for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It's the LMNOP part, right?
Yeah. Well, the whole thing is just off.
I have it if you want to hear it.
The guy, I got an email that was 2 pages, single-spaced, about how I was ruining America.
Why? Because cause you were not in favor of the new
right, that I wasn't understanding how essential it was, when my sole point was, we all learned to read, we had the old song, we're doing okay, not everything needs to be changed.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. Now I never will forget how to say the alphabet.
Oh, no thanks.
Huh? Nope. No.
What's
no,
wrong? Thanks. That's the new no, song?
Yeah. Yeah. Wrong pass.
No, huh? Thank you.
It doesn't roll off the tongue as easily, you know?
However you can get the kids to learn the alphabet.
What about kids who can't clap? That's not very nice for them. Yeah.
That don't have inclusive. The rhythm?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's not. I mean, in the Twitch chat, somebody on Team Shime who says there are a lot of players who start the week after it.
Yeah,
constantly.
Yeah. Like it's, quarterbacks.
I mean, I don't know. We have to start thinking. But I think if he's, like, dealing with no symptoms, like, if he's had no symptoms, after the game, Monday, Tuesday, yesterday he was probably working out. Wednesday, let's see where he is.
See where he is. Yeah. And then...
But Reese says we get the status report on him today.
The fifth stage is that you have to actually live. You have to be live. You actually have to be in contact. So I don't know.
But the problem is when do you really? You know, when can you're not really going to contact the quarterback?
I'm with Shime too. The way in which that they've talked about it, it hasn't said like he's suffering from a concussion. Everything's just been he's in protocol, and it's been pretty quiet on the front of him. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see him on Sunday.
Yeah. Shime, is this correct? 508 text, Brock Purdy was cleared in a week, played after?
I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked. I trust the text line. That's fine.
If he doesn't have a concussion, he'll play.
Yeah.
If he has a concussion, he won't
but
play.
But are you back to that original argument, which is that you're going to put your, you know, number 3 overall pick in jeopardy by playing him when you don't need to play him, like the season is done, like what do you, you know?
Well, then sit him for the year.
You have 2 wins.
Right,
and, like,
sit him for the year. If that's your way of thinking, then don't, whether he's able to, sits out this week and is good to go the following week, then don't even play him. If you're concerned about injury, then sit him for the year. But if you want him to get the reps and you want him to get better and you want him to be able to go out there every single week and see to develop by actually playing, then let the kid play. And if he gets hurt, that's just the nature of the beast. All you can do is knock on wood and it's not something crazy. You know, and it's no need to sit him on the bench. He got hurt on a play where he gave himself up early, where he was using his athletic ability, and he slid. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like he was in the pocket and got absolutely smoked because one of the linemen got blown by. He did a good job of trying to get down early. It was one of those plays that he just got hit the wrong way, and guess what? I bet he slides or he gets hit like that all the time, and maybe sometimes he doesn't get his bell rung.
Yep.
Just got.
Well, yeah, he's not the one that pulled him out of the game. Like, it was the independent spotter that pulled him out. He threw a couple passes.
Wasn't it Jacoby Brissett?
He was talking to Jacoby Brissett.
Who first alerted them?
His pupils are dilating.
Right.
I think he's seeing stars.
Brissett's like, hey, just a heads up. I feel like maybe Drake might be concussed.
Right.
I should probably go into the game at this point.
It's Kobe over there snitching on his teammates, trying to
wants to get back in the game.
Oh, I respect that if that happened.
Drake, awesome. How you feeling? I'm a little woozy, but I'm all right. Hey, Gerard, you might want to check on Drake real quick. You might want to sit him.
Kid can't do the alphabet song.
If he's ready to go, play him. I mean, we're at this point now. We all want to see him develop, and it looks like he's developing in a way that we're all happy. So
it gives you a better chance of winning football games.
Right.
And so you know, and again, this week, I guess maybe your Jacoby Brissett is enough to win this football game this week. So,
well, if you're a fan, what do you want? We had this conversation. Do you want them to win football games?
You don't want them to win another football game.
I
respect that.
I would like for them.
You want them to be in games, but not win games.
Right, and Drake may play well.
Yeah.
So so our draft status will be top three, one or two, if possible, right? And that just gives us so many opportunities. If we got the number one overall pick, we could do so much stuff with that, whether it's trading back, whether it's maybe getting the player that you want. There's so many different things. But if you're able to put together 5-6 wins – now it's just going to lower your draft status, and you have to do a little bit more to get cute with your draft.
But all the people saying that there's no point, the team isn't good, we're not going anywhere this season, so you should just sit him. Well, I think that you need to look at the benefits of Drake May getting more games underneath his belt going into next season. Like sitting him for the rest of the season, going out the way in which he did, there's got to be some downside to that as well.
Yeah, we all wanted to see him play. I don't think anybody thinks it's a good idea to, if he's healthy, not play him.
I'm seeing a lot of people on the Twitch saying that
there's
no reason to have him play the rest of the season.
When you're doing a risk-reward thing, they're saying this particular week there's no reward that is gained from him playing one additional football.
Okay, so you're saying this week, but Courtney, you're saying sit him for the rest of the season.
Yeah,
I'm
like
talking about...
It just popped up again, Splinter 1978. Coco, there is no benefit at this point to play him.
For the rest of the entire season.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I got to be honest. I kind of agree with that.
Like, you do?
If he does have a concussion, can we stipulate that? If
he
doesn't have a concussion, then play him. Then what's the upside? Let's say he gets another concussion.
Yeah.
In the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
In a season that is, we all agree, meaningless in terms of the record.
All right.
Then why are you stacking up these hits on a guy when we all believe, I'm not a doctor, I've never professed to be one, but the closer proximity the concussions have to one another, the more likely the damage is long term.
Also, Jacoby Brissett just told Gerard Mayo that he thinks he has COVID. So that maybe Drake shouldn't play this week because of the COVID.
Ken just called Stacy. He said, we're not interviewing Drake on Monday.
Excuse me? Social distance, please?
I
got no issues if you want to sit him this week. But if he's healthy, so Curtis, you sit him this week and he's healthy to go next week. Are you playing him or are you still on board with sitting him the whole season?
If the doctors say there's no way that a secondary concussion will be worse today than it would be next year, I play him.
508 text Curtis. To take a quote from the great Bill Belichick, football players play football.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Because what's the difference?
Well, Malcolm Butler didn't play. Explain that, Bill.
I knew Curtis would have something to come back with.
So I get if you give him a week's rest where, like, all right, he's not ready to go this week, but then he passes all the things next week. So you just put him in. He's still at risk. Like, every time you step on the football field, you're at risk to get a concussion.
Yeah. Every single time.
Every single time.
But a concussion on top of a concussion
in
a shorter period of time has been proven to be a real issue.
But if he doesn't even have a concussion, then this whole point is moot. Moot. Moot is the right word.
Shout out LB. He used to say the point is mute, just like you did.
Oh, great drop.
Google
that
it.
Drop will never come up again for Shime.
Well, I immediately corrected myself. I didn't need other people to correct me.
Yeah. Okay.
Let Courtney have that.
Yeah. Come on. You should. All right. Well, I will find out.
Everybody, you get a concussion every time you step on the football field.
Guys, you have to remember, too, that this is a team that reports where they were pissed that they were holding out Drake May because they were worried about him getting hurt. And all of these guys are saying, I'm putting my body on the field every single week. You don't care about me, but you care about him. That was a whole reason why there might be a mutiny, quote unquote, in the locker room. So if you're saying...
It's actually a mutiny, according to Shire.
So if you're saying that if he's okay to go, but they're going to hold him out, like people are saying there's no point in playing him, the guys are going to get mad again.
Yeah, but I don't...
People are like, is this a serious discussion? What a loser mentality. Curtis, you're ridiculous. Don't play him. That's so stupid. Like, that's what the text line is saying.
It's
like,
very hurtful.
Well, the whole, like, getting...
I don't even know you.
Like, you know, a concussion close to another concussion. Every time you step on the field, right? won't the experts, and I'm making air quotes, tell you that you're giving yourself a concussion all the time? So you're always going to have maybe symptoms, or if you feel fine and you step on the field and you're ready to go, you play. If he can play this week, you play him. That's what he's there for. He's there to get more experience. He's there to build off what he's already done. Whether you win football games, in my opinion, does not matter to me. As long as he plays well, that's what I care about.
Got to get him on some of that Fountain of Youth stat.
Yeah, get him some booty sweat juice. Maybe that'll help with his concussions.
All right, we got to take a break. And when we come back, we will get to Courtney and today's news.
It's time for
the San Francisco quarterback. I found to be very, very interesting how he's been so good, and he was your like just about the last draft pick.
The news.
Was he Mr. Irrelevant?
Yeah, he was Mr. Irrelevant. Yeah. He was Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah.
He's not irrelevant anymore.
With your host, Courtney Cox.
Brock Purdy being the guy that I would go to when he said I was crazy.
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, with 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com.
Brock Purdy, I would take 1,000,000%
on WEEI.
What do you think they would say if I stood up when I walked away?
Police are investigating a shooting in Charlestown yesterday afternoon that left a man hospitalized. Officers responded to Polk Street to find evidence of a shooting while a man suffering from multiple gunshot wounds took himself to the hospital at the same time that they were arriving at the scene.
This in broad daylight?
Broad daylight.
Jeez.
He is reportedly suffering from non-life-threatening injuries, so that's good, but they are investigating what exactly went down. Here's an unnamed witness on WHDH.
I heard multiple gunshots. I'd say about at least 50 rounds went. That was pretty much it. And I came out and seen the car, black car over here, and the white car shot up.
So scary.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Right. They don't know who did it or why.
Nope. Yeah. They are investigating the entire thing.
Shut the bridge.
A 23-year-old driver in Needham is being summoned after a wild hit-and-run accident that left two people seriously injured just after 7 p.m. yesterday. This is a weird story. Officials say the victims were struck and the driver fled the scene. About 2 hours later, the driver returned with his mother to the scene.
How old is he?
23 years old.
Okay.
And then gave an interview to News Center 5 admitting what he had done.
Oh. Did he purposefully admit it, or did he accidentally admit it?
Well, we have a bit of the interview,
okay,
so you can determine that for yourself.
And Channel 5 is right in Needham, so it was on the scene.
More like 25, 30 down the street. I was literally coming out of work just now, and, like, I swear to God, like, I literally, like, I don't know, like, something was just in front of me at the moment when it happened, and then, like, I don't know, I just hit something, and then...
Why did you leave?
I was just so scared.
His mom's probably was like, listen, we need to take you back to the scene.
Right.
You know,
but go talk to the cops, not the news.
Damages, you know, will be a little bit better if we get you back there.
Yeah. He's like, is this going to be on social media so I can share it? Please tag me in it. Okay. Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yep. But, yeah. Now we can go to Florida.
Okay.
And now.
It's one of those only in Florida type of stories.
Another edition of
Come to Miami.
Florida. Not like the rest of us.
The people of Polk County like guns. They have guns. I encourage them to own guns.
On WEEI.
Oh, they don't close Florida.
Mitch has the video to go along with this, but a guy was arrested, or maybe a photo, arrested for antagonizing voters with a machete in Neptune Beach. 18-year-old Caleb James William was arrested on charges of aggravated assault after he allegedly threatened two women at the Beaches Branch Library, which is an early voting site. Mm. William arrived with a group of guys with a Trump sign with a stabbed machete into it, and it escalated into a verbal argument with him approaching another group with said machete in the air.
Okay. I feel like the machete has become the go-to weapon in Florida. We've had several machete stories of late.
But in Florida, you got to be careful because you literally bring in a knife to a gunfight.
Right.
Because everybody got guns down there.
Mm-hmm. We can hear a police spokesperson on CBS 47.
I'm extremely angry at this. This group of juveniles probably wasn't using their head, and they weren't thinking very clearly. about what they wanted to achieve, because it is, again, one thing to go up and exercise your First Amendment right, which we so dearly take as a sacred right to express. But again, as I said, the moment you move to violence, that goes out the window. And to say I'm disturbed is an understatement. I'm mad.
So he went to a Trump rally?
So there was two groups there.
Okay.
But he showed up with a Trump sign with a machete stabbed into the sign.
Oh, so he was an anti-Trump.
That's what I would assume. Okay. But then he was holding the machete going to the other group. They don't specify in the articles if the other group was pro-Trump, pro-Harris, whatever.
If we could just get the election over with, it would be delightful.
I would agree with that.
I don't
get
why people have to go, like, I'm not going to an event where I know I'm against. That don't make sense to me. If I'm against something, why am I going antagonize people?
Wiki, look myself at Wiki.
Morons.
Look at the Twitch chat. People on purpose are hating a show 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. They show up because they're miserable in their own life.
Right, but that's through the keyboard. There's no issue
It's
there.
It's time.
There's a difference, like, if we're at a road show.
Because he's 18, he doesn't think anything's gonna that is going to happen to him. That's what teenagers do.
Instead of just saying, I don't want to listen to this comedian or listen to this, you know, sports host, people do whatever they can so that they don't have a job. It's such a bizarre way to operate in life. We used to just walk into the store, as Ricky Gervais would say, and say, oh, if my son wants drum lessons, I'll take this number. Now people call the person and say, I don't want drum lessons.
Maybe it's
the dumbest time in human history.
Maybe that's why I don't have any sympathy for people who go to these events and then get curb stomped, because you brought it on yourself.
Exactly.
You're going there and, you know, maybe you shouldn't get in trouble for, you know, whooping some ass for somebody who
said it a billion times. We used to live in a time where you didn't know who other people voted for, because there was no Facebook, there was no Instagram, there was no TikTok, there was no social media. It was none of your business.
Well, now they make it your business.
We were much better off.
Yeah, but
as an entire country, we were much better off. Like, there are people that vote one way, there are people that vote the other. It doesn't make either one of them jackasses.
Yeah, right? But people now like wear it like a badge of
just
courage.
Leave people alone. You're not smarter than somebody else.
Right.
But now
we've even caught a step further, because there's actual ads that I hear, whether it's on the radio or television, and they say that we might not know who you voted for, but we can now find out whether or not you voted or not.
Really?
And there are ads that they play. So, like, where family members or friends can, like, basically, you know, put in the Google public records and figure out whether or not you voted. Then it's not going to tell you who they voted for, but just to shame you for potentially not voting if you're not somebody who wants to vote.
Well, it's interesting. Greg says that he's ready for this to be over because stress surrounding the election cycle is worse than it's ever been before.
Really?
An American University poll published last month said 32% of Americans aged between 18 and 34 are feeling both nervous and scared about the upcoming election. This is higher than the 2020 election, when heart attack, stroke, and heart failure hospitalizations were up 17% for the 5 days after the election.
Okay, that's a little extreme.
What's like, the young people,
like,
Greg?
Just remove the anxiety. Mm-hmm. I said it yesterday. You're going to wake up on Wednesday of next week and go to work.
Right.
And
but I don't blame the people for
change.
This. I don't blame the people for this, Greg.
You don't?
No, because this is what we've done to them. We create algorithms that further extreme their positions on both sides. We are told on a daily basis that this is an existential threat to democracy.
Yeah,
we are told that this is the most consequential election of our lifetime. We are told, literally, we've had a dead guy for 4 years, and before that we had a guy that was a total and complete narcissistic D-bag. Like, neither have impacted my life. It's just, but we have to do it because that's how you monetize the cable news industry.
I think for women, it's a really stressful election. Like, for me, I am very stressed about
Why?
It.
Why?
Well, because there are a lot of issues with this election that bring up women's health. And
Well, the guy, if you're talking about Donald Trump, he was in office for 4 years. Did anything change when it came to that?
Well, the people he put into power when it comes to the judicial system overturned Roe v. Wade. So,
but did that change your access to any kind of health care?
Well, because I live in Massachusetts.
Okay.
But, I mean, I have friends that live in Texas. I have friends that live in Alabama. Like,
has it affected them?
Not yet, but if God forbid...
It could.
God forbid if they need an
abortion.
I'm not even talking about it. I'm not even talking about an abortion. If you want to have the conversation,
I don't know what you guys are talking about. You guys are talking.
I'm not even talking about abortion. I'm talking about somebody that maybe is not able to carry a pregnancy to full term and needs a procedure to make sure that they are healthy themselves. They are not able to do that in some of these states.
Can we not do the abortion debate on the radio, please?
I'm just trying to figure out what you guys are talking about.
You guys were you were saying that it's crazy that people's lives aren't going to be affected. And I think that, you know, especially for women, when it comes to women's health, that's where I fall into a very difficult position where I voted for Donald Trump in the past. I voted against Donald Trump in the past. But going into the election next week, I feel a sense of anxiety.
Huh?
Okay.
That's all.
And I'm saying that most of that anxiety, not all of it, is derived through people reporting things like women being dying in the parking lot of hospitals, not getting care. Both sides exaggerate the
rest of today's news next.